would you take your Bibles tonight and open to the book of Galatians? We're going to be looking at a number of different scriptures, but we're going to be starting in Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Thank you, Janet. Appreciate it. I don't know why I got all choked up tonight, so this will help. Galatians chapter 4. We'll be reading together in verses 6 and 7. Actually, I want to back up just a little bit before that and start in verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to again look in your word tonight, just to encourage, be encouraged by your Spirit, Lord, to receive what you want us to hear tonight. I pray that as we go through this study over the next few weeks, that, Lord, you will just remind us of the foundation that you've laid for us. It's a firm foundation. It will never be changed. It will never be moved. And as long as we stand upon you and upon your word and upon Jesus Christ, our Savior, nothing can shake us, nothing can hurt us, nothing can move us, because we're built on a strong foundation, one that will never change. I thank you for that, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are going to start this study called Firm Foundation Series. And tonight we're going to be looking at the relationship of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I think everyone in here and everyone listening would know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. We see the picture of the Father giving in John chapter 3, verse 16, and loving to the utmost. Tonight we also read Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, which we see both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in that section. I also want to read Genesis 1:27 to you. And it says, so God created mankind in His own image. The image of God He created them. In the image of God He created them. Male and female, He created them. Now, it's interesting, the scripture tells us that man and woman were made in the image of God. Now, God is three persons or three manifestations of Himself. God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit. And we see these in Scripture, all through Scripture, we see these brought out. Tonight we're going to look specifically as God the Father, who is the soul of all things. God is the one who brought everything into being by one desiring to create all that there is and bringing man into being. God is the creator and soul of all the universe. God the Son is God in the body. He came as the Savior of the world to give His life, but He came in a physical body. And then God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who now lives with us, who walks alongside of us, who encourages us and lifts us up. So God is a threefold image. He's a threefold person. He's the triune God. In the same way, the scripture says, He created us in His image. And He gave us a soul. And He gave us a body. And He gave us our own heart, our own spirit. And so we're going to be looking at that tonight, and specifically looking at the characteristics of each one of the triune parts of God. First of all, we're going to look at God the Father. He is the soul of the universe. What I mean by that is, everything that there is there because He desired to create it. He did not create anything He didn't desire. He desired everything. And so He had in His heart, in His soul, to create the universe and to create mankind. He is manifested as our Heavenly Father. If you know God through Jesus, then you've been adopted into His family, and He's your Father, and you are His child. Amen?
So you are now His. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, through Jesus, through the resurrection, through the payment of our sins, God has adopted us into His family. And you can't be unadopted by God. You see, God doesn't say that He'll do something and then change and then not do it. God, when He chooses to do something, that's exactly what He does. And so when He says to anyone, to any who will come unto Me, I will receive you unto Myself. And that's exactly what He does. We are now His. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, do you not know that your bodies are now temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now, it's interesting that as God manifested Himself into a human being, He built them a body. And He built the body out of the dirt of the ground. And He blew the Spirit of the Lord into them. And they came alive. We are His because He made us. You see, He's the Creator of all things. Who owns the things that they create? The Creator. That's exactly who God is. Just the verse before that in 2 Corinthians, or not the verse before that, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, and I will be a father to you, and you will be My sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You see, He adopted us, and now He is our Father. And we have a Father who will never leave us and never forsake us, and we will always be His. And He deposited Himself within every believer by His Holy Spirit. And we cry out, Abba, Father, just as Jesus did, and as He was teaching His disciples to cry out to the Father. You see, we are so blessed to have the soul of the universe as our Father. The Father whose soul is loving. Everything that God does is based on His love. John, 1 John tells us that God is love, period. God is love. God is not like, God is not hatred, God is not, you know, any of those other things we could come up with. God is love. 100%, 1,000%. If there's any higher percent than that, that's what He is. He's absolute love. And so Romans chapter 5 reminds us that God demonstrated His what? His own love, not our love, not anybody else's kind of love. God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us so much that He was willing to place all of our sins and the penalty for those sins upon His own Son on the cross. That's how much God loves you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now folks, there's no greater statement than the fact that God so loved us than right there. He loved us more than anybody else could ever love us. He loves you more than anybody else ever will love you. And He'll never stop loving you. That's a great love. You see, I think there's a lot of people who think love is something I can give and take away. That's not love. You see, God gave us His love, period. It's unconditional. There are no boundaries to God's love. God loves this world with a love that has never been seen before or since. It's total, it's absolute, it's unconditional love. That is the soul of the universe, God's love. That's why God created all that He created. Because He had so much love that He wanted to give. And He still does, and He always will. God loves you. God loves me. Secondly, let's look at Jesus, the Son. He is the body that is given for all. Manifested as God's Son, the image of the invisible God. That's who Jesus is. He's the visible image of who God is. So that we could see and understand and know. I don't know about you, but I'm a visual learner, and I see, I learn a lot more by somebody showing me something rather than telling me about it. My grandpa used to get kind of frustrated with me because he'd give me a bunch of different things I was supposed to do during the day out on the farm. And, you know, I go, okay, I'm supposed to do that and that and that. And how am I supposed to do this part? And he said, man, did I have to draw you a picture? And I go, yeah. Yeah, you do. Once you draw me a picture, I get it. Once I can see it, I understand it. So God says, I'll draw you all the picture of who I am. And I will walk in your midst. And I will teach you along the way. And I will come to a point where I'll be willing to give my whole life for you. To show you my love. That's who Jesus is. John 1:1 simply reminds us that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. See, it's not from the standpoint that God was married and had Jesus as his offspring. He wasn't. But he, as the one who came from the Father with every part of the Father, that's why he's called the Son. He came as a visible image of who God is. John chapter 20, verse 21 reminds us of this. Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. You see, God's image of himself, the Son, manifested as his Son, is the image of who God is. And so God is showing us his love. God is the Word that has always been there. And then God is saying, now I'm going to send my Word through you. Do you realize you're carrying the most valuable thing ever? Now, it'd be interesting, and I've seen tons of different shows and all kinds of things made up about people who are trying to transport. In fact, the other day I saw an old Andy Griffith show, and the people from the Mint were going to be transporting gold to Fort Knox, and then they had to go through Maryberry. And so they went and came and they met with Andy Griffith and they said, now, Sheriff, we just need to tell you, on this particular day, you need to try to keep the roads as clear as possible and just know that we're going to be coming through here. We want to let you know ahead of time, but please, you know, don't tell anybody. Of course, Barney Fife is right there. And so Barney calls up his girlfriend and he's talking to her on the phone and he said, I'm not going to be able to come over tomorrow. Because, and he lets it slip out. And, of course, you know what happens the next day. Everybody in town is out on the street with placards and the band's playing. And as soon as the truck comes through carrying the gold, so to speak, they're all cheering, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And Andy's going like, how did all this happen? We think about those things, but the fact is that Jesus said, listen, as the Father is, that's who I am. And we can talk about all those other kinds of things that are so incredibly amazing, but we've never had anything more amazing than the God of the universe, the soul of the universe, is now living inside of us because of what Jesus has done for us. The most incredible thing ever, and we don't tell people about it. Oh, we'll tell them we got a new job, or we'll tell them we got a new car, or we'll tell them, you know, we're going on a vacation, we'll show them pictures of our grandkids. We'll talk about everything else in the world, but we don't talk about Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. The Son is the visible image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In other words, God is saying, listen, I know you don't, you're a visual learner like most people are. You need to see something so that you can believe in it and understand it. So I'm going to show myself to you. I'm going to place myself in a body named Jesus Christ. And I'm going to live in front of you. I'm going to walk among you. I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to let you experience my incredible love. And that's exactly what he did. Make no mistake, Jesus Christ is God. God is Jesus Christ. It's just three manifestations: the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Savior, God the Father. Three manifestations. Jesus the Son. The Son who's holding everything together. The Scripture tells us in that passage in Colossians that the whole universe and everything that's been created is held together by Him. Look at what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. It's not there? That's okay. I'll read it right out of mine. I must have messed up on the next slide. It is on the next slide, I think. But anyway. Okay, all right. Yes, there it is. Okay. He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now, here's an interesting thing. Man doesn't like to use the word all because it's very encompassing. So when the Scripture says that all who come to God are His children, they want to say, oh, that doesn't mean all people. It just means some people. Well, then use the word some. The word is all. Here the word is all. In Him all things hold together. So let me ask you a question. Does God hold everything together? Everything. All. Everything is held together by Him. That means your car is held together by Him. This podium is held together by Him. Everything is held together by Him. He's the one who's keeping all those molecules that are moving in the place where they are. If it were not for Him, all things would not hold together, and this universe would just be a chaos. All things were made by Him and for Him, it tells us in Scripture. For in Him all things were created. Things in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Can you say all things? All things. All things. Everything. Everything that is was created by Him, created for Him, and held together by Him. That's who the Son is. He's been given for all people. The Son who is the sacrifice for all sins, for our sins. His sacrifice had to be on the same level as our sin. In other words, He didn't pay for most of your sins, because if He paid for most of your sins, you'd still have other ones that weren't paid for. He died on the cross to pay for all of our sins. In other words, He came as a man to cover the sins of all men. This could only be done by Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 reminds us in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. God the Father is the soul of this universe. Jesus Christ is the Son who came and gave His body for us. And then the Holy Spirit was then sent to live in us as our encourager. Paraclete, the one who walks alongside of us with His arm around us to help us through. God is manifested as God's Spirit. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says, because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Every person who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has the Holy Spirit living in them. Let me tell you something. When you ask Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes immediately. He doesn't come later on, you know, when you start praying certain kinds of prayers and then you get filled with the Spirit or you get baptized in the Spirit. Listen, folks, you have everything of God when you trust Him as your Savior and your Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 12, He set His seal of ownership on us. And he put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now let me just paint a small picture for you, because again, I like the visual. Just think about this. When you stand before God in heaven, how will he know that you're his child? You have his seal upon you. Every person who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior has the seal of the Holy Spirit upon them. It won't have to be a situation like a lot of people think, God looking at you and say, why should I let you into heaven? And they're going to go, well, I tried to do good. I did this and that and that. I went to church. I gave my tithe. Blah. No, God doesn't. He's not going to even bring that kind of stuff up, because what he's going to see is you're either saved or you're lost. And the way he's going to see that is, do you have the Holy Spirit living in you as a seal of God's approval, or do you not? And that's why the scripture tells us there are going to be many people on that day when Jesus, you know, they come before Jesus and they say, well, listen, didn't we do all these things in your name? Didn't we go visit the sick? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all these things in your name? And he'll look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. That word, depart from me, never knew you, means you don't have the seal. You're not my children. You're not of me. You did everything you did because of religious thoughts, but you didn't know me. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us then to encourage us and to guide us. Listen, folks, we need the Holy Spirit's help. I need the Holy Spirit's help. There are days that I get up and I don't feel like being godly at all. I'm full of myself, and I snap at somebody, or I do something that I wish I hadn't have done. And it's, you know, I'm a sinner just like every other person. But the fact is that God has sent the encourager to walk alongside, to encourage me and to guide me, and the same for you. We need his help. We need the Lord's help. His desire is to fill us to overflowing so that there's no more room for us any longer. Wouldn't that be awesome? To be completely filled with the Holy Spirit in such a manner that my desires aren't even, they don't even matter anymore. I just want what he wants. I just want to do what he wants me to do. I just want to go where he wants me to go. I want to tell somebody about how awesome God is. We live such a selfish life, because most everything we do is based on we. It's based on us. God says, no, I want to send my Holy Spirit to live inside of you, to walk alongside of you, to give you help as you need it, and to be filled with him. Paul states that concept in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, in one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Paul says, listen, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In other words, I'm full of him. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me enough, loved me and gave himself up for me. That's how I live. Paul says, I could live for myself. He said, you know, he could say, I live most of the time for God. But what he says is, no, what I want to do, what I choose to do, and by the way, it is a choice for all of us, to live according to him and him alone, and allow him to not only indwell us, but to empower us and to fill us to overflowing. A couple of verses later, Paul goes on to say, verses 22 through 25, so when this happens, the fruit of that Spirit who now lives inside of us is love and joy and peace and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and kindness and goodness. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Now, stop there for just a minute and think about what he's saying. Listen, Joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all things that are of God. Against such things there is no law. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. So what would the aspects of the flesh be? The exact opposites of those things. Instead of love, I have hate. Instead of joy, I'm sad. Instead of peace, I'm crazy. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Instead of patience, I'm snapping at people. Instead of being kind, I'm angry at people. Instead of walking in goodness, I walk in myself. Instead of being faithful, I just show up when I want to. Instead of being gentle, I'm rough. And instead of having self-control, I'm out of control. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. How do you do that? How do I do that? Moment by moment, every single day, we continuously remind ourselves, I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I glorify God in my mortal body. I've been bought with a price. You could walk around all day just reminding yourself, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. I would desire to do something like this right now, but I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I have to glorify God in my mortal body. These are the foundations of what all God's Word sit upon. God is the soul of the universe. Jesus Christ is the Son who came as the visible image of the invisible God and gave the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And the Holy Spirit is our encourager who was sent to now live in every person who's trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the foundation of God's Word. That's the foundation of the Gospel. That's the foundation that we ought to be living upon. Any other thing that we base our life upon will fail. This is the foundation that will never fail. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you'll just remind us again and again, over and over, day after day, that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify you in our mortal bodies. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.